Sometimes we a little stubborn about going to the doctor, aren't we? We get it in our head that we don't really need the doctor. We'll get over it on our own. Get well by ourselves. Well, in nature, once in a while that works out, but not very often. But I'll assure you this, you'll never get over your sins without Jesus. You'll never, ever. Now, again, sometimes we're hard-headed. There's folks in this world that think that they can get over it on their own. Might have been a time in your life that maybe you thought you could get over it on your own. That never works out too well for us, does it? We need Jesus. We need Jesus every day. No, I don't need him to go to a cross again. I don't need him to come and die again. I need the conquering, resurrected, living Jesus in my life every day. He satisfied God's law. He satisfied God's wrath. Now, I know sometimes we maybe get out of the traces a little bit and we kind of get a little independent about things sometimes and we get afraid that God's going to be mad at us. Well, I'm not going to tell you that God is not capable of wrath. The scripture certainly tells us that he is. What I am going to tell you is that you will never be subjected to God's fierce anger. You may be subjected to his chastening wrath, but Jesus Christ bore his fierce anger on the cross. There was never a time that my daddy whipped me because he was happy about it. And there were a time or two that he was probably pretty upset, if the truth be known. But there was never a time that I ever thought that his anger was such that it would destroy me. Now, the fierce wrath of God is very capable of destruction. But Jesus stands as our advocate with the Father. And so the truth of the matter is, if you study the scriptures and read the scriptures and trust in his holy word, God no longer sees your sin. Not only does he not see it, but the scripture promises us that he doesn't even remember it, because he sees the righteousness of this Jesus that we all need. Now, I want you to think about for a minute, most of us have had this in our lives, and I'm going to get to a text here in a minute, but this is important. Have you ever had somebody come and talk to you about something that maybe you all did together years back that you honestly and absolutely, that there's nothing about it that sounds remotely familiar? You ever had that experience of something that you absolutely, you can't remember anything about it? You can't remember that it ever happened. And so the memory of that has no effect on you, does it? If you can't remember that it happened, then it might as well not have. Some folks can tell you all day long that it happened. If you can't remember it, then you have no personal experience of it anymore. God does not remember your sin. God will never remember your sin. In order for God to remember your sin, He would have to forget what Jesus did on the cross. And I will assure you that the Father is never going to forget the loving sacrifice of His Son. Turn to the 57th Psalm, please, for just a minute. I'm going to see if I can get the frog to cooperate a little. Psalm 57, the 7th verse. There's a word there that I trust that God will grant us the grace to pay attention to for a few minutes. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. And most of the time when people think about something being fixed, they think about that, well, at one point it was broken. It needed some repair. Well, and that's certainly true of our hearts. That old hard and stony heart needed some work done on it so that it might become a heart of flesh. God is in the business of fixing hearts, I will assure you. Broken hearts, contrite hearts. God loves a contrite spirit. God works in our broken hearts. God certainly is the only one that's capable of fixing our heart. Because until God fixes our heart, the thought of our heart is always evil continually, the scripture says. Until God fixes our heart, we never have a good thought. You never really have a kind thought. If you ever think about doing good for somebody, it's only because you've already calculated how it's going to turn out to do better for you. That's our nature. To freely give, to lovingly give, to give without desire or expectation of recompense comes from a heart that God has fixed. There's none of us that haven't needed a little work done on our heart from time to time, have we? And here in the South, sometimes that word fixed means something that's at hand or something that's imminent in its happening. I think I've probably shared with you before. I hadn't been in Indiana very long until they called me up and let me know. It was my job to make sure that all the materials were there for doing whatever particular flavor of Gatorade or Propel or whatever they were doing that day. And inventory said we had plenty of labels to run a certain number of batches of Gatorade. And they called me from the floor and they said, we can't find these labels. And I said, well, the inventory says they're there. And so we got doing some digging, looking and scratching back through the paperwork, and we finally figured out that somebody had received a shipment twice, which is never a good thing. So we had to go to a plan B. But in the meantime, while I was running around there trying to help them figure out what we could do, I passed the line supervisor for that line that was supposed to run all these batches of lemon lime. And as I went by, I said, Charlie, you're fixing to run out of labels. And I saw this deer in the headlight look. And I had to stop a minute and think about, had to stop and think about where I was. Fixing two did not compute up there. I had to back up and tell them, look, Charlie, you are in imminent danger of being out of labels on this line. You're going to have to switch to something else. My heart is fixed. Actually, in this particular usage of fixed, it didn't really mean to repair. And it wasn't something that was about to happen. It was about having a heart that was steadfast. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. It was important enough to David that he found it necessary to repeat it twice in the same line. My heart is fixed. We understand, if we'll stop and think about it a minute, that can have a lot of different applications that are, I believe, applicable to what David was saying here. We all understand when something's fixed, you have things that, this pulpit has a fixed position. It's fastened down and secure, and I'm not going to pick it up and move it over there. It's fixed. It is not going to be moved from this particular location. Now, again, with anything that man does, man can figure out a way to unfix it. I mean, we can get some crowbars and pry it up. But I'm going to tell you, whenever God is pleased by His grace and mercy to fix your heart on Him, and that's the only way our hearts are ever fixed on Him, fastened on Him, steadfast on Him, is that He, by His grace and mercy, makes it so. When our hearts are fixed on Him, there's not a pry bar in the world that's going to change that. Not financial deprivation, not sickness, not death, not the craftiness of men or the cunning lies of Satan. There is nothing that can move your heart whenever God has fixed your heart on Him. Now, our mind, once in a while, might sit down with us and say, "You really believe that?" You ever been into a place in your life where you ever thought, "Is this God thing real?" Or have you ever been in a position where you thought, "Is this what I really believe?" Have you ever been in a position where your logic told you it can't possibly be real? But there's something down in the core of your being that tells you that in spite of all evidence to the contrary, because let's face it, nobody has ever scientifically proven a virgin birth. And they never will, because there was only one. Nobody has ever scientifically proven, as a matter of fact, they've proven right the opposite, that there's no way. The largest whale known to man can swallow at one gulp something the size of a grapefruit. I'm pretty sure Jonah was bigger than a grapefruit. Men try to claim that Jonah can't be real because there's nothing in the sea that could do that. I agree, there's nothing in the sea that can do that. But they don't read God's word, and it don't even say a whale. Doesn't even say that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. It said God prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. God made one just for the express purpose of swallowing Jonah. Now you talk about something that had to be curiously made. You know, most time when we swallow something, it's for the purpose of digesting it. This fish didn't digest Jonah. Jonah didn't lose consciousness. Jonah, because of that experience, had his heart fixed on God. "I'll pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Now, you see, Jonah's mind was already telling him, "You don't want to go to Nineveh, Jonah. There's no reason for you to go to Nineveh. There's no point in you going to Nineveh. As a matter of fact, there's a lot better places you could go than Nineveh." But it was Jonah's heart that was finally, by God, fixed on doing God's will. You see, our minds sometimes may tell us, But how many times have you, maybe in the midst of some doubt that you've had, some question that you've had, some wonder in your mind, well, does God really love me? Is Jesus, did he really die for me? Does he really care for me? And there has been something that has brightened your soul that your mind could not deny or comprehend, that you knew beyond, just as sure as you knew that you drew breath, that that was real and that it was true and that it would never be changed. Your heart is fixed on and in God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And you know that not because you worked it out in your head, but because the Holy Spirit worked it in your heart. My heart is fixed. It won't be moved. It has a solid place. It's in a solid location. So being fixed on something can refer to the place where it's held, you see. Our hearts are fixed on God. They're held on God. They're held by God. They're held by the power and the authority of God. They are fixed. But you know, being fixed doesn't just apply to location. It can apply also to position. We have a time around the house there getting our pictures fixed on the wall just like we want them. Leah likes to say, right there looks good. And I said, no, I've got to go get a tape measure. She'll say, just center it right there. And I'll say, okay, is that centered? She said, well, you look at it. I said, no, you look at it. Is that centered? See, the position. The location is fixed. We know what's going on the wall. But we also need to fix the position. And when our hearts are fixed on God, it's not just the location that's fixed. It's the position that's fixed. We never see ourselves as being here and God being here, or us being here and God being here. And you say, well, nobody'd ever be dumb enough to think that they were bigger than God. There's a lot of people in this world that are foolish enough to think they're bigger than God. If you don't think so, then you just look at the number of people that are telling you how you can get God to do what you want him to do. There are so many doctrines of men in the world today that preach a God that's like a genie in a lamp, and if you rub the lamp the right way, he's going to grant you wish. That's not God. That's the foolishness of men. God's position is fixed, and our heart's position in him is fixed, and we exalt him, and we glorify him, and we see him high and lifted up, and we know that he is above all things. And that all things subsist in him. My heart is fixed. The location is fixed. And the position is fixed. Now there's another aspect of things being fixed. Again, like I said, men's examples are a little squirrely sometimes because they're men's examples. But sometimes it's the best we can do. You ladies, when you want to get your hair done, what do? You seldom ever just stroll in there and wait, do you? You call and have an appointment. You have a time fixed, set, established. I'd have used the doctor's office for an example, but we all know that don't work too well. Fixed. That there is an appointment made, that there is a definite place in time. That your heart is fixed. There is a definite place. There is a definite location in that place. And there is a definite time frame for your heart being fixed in God. Now his heart was fixed on you from before the beginning of time. From a transactional standpoint, our hearts were fixed on him when Jesus died on the cross. That sealed it. It was already done in the mind and the purpose of God. The sealing of that transaction was in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And certainly we have hope of eternal glory because of all of that. But that's a lot of places. And a lot of different time frames. Where and when is our heart fixed on him? When should our heart be fixed on him? What's our appointment time? Our heart should be fixed on him now. Now. God is the place. Our service to him is the location. And the time is now. Your time to serve God is now. Your time to worship and praise God is now. And I'm not just talking about because it's, you know, 11:45 on Sunday morning. But now, here, in this life, with our being, with all that we do, with everything that we face, when our hearts are fixed, then everything else just kind of finds its proper place, doesn't it? For all my life, I was taught, you know, you need to make a list of priorities and check them off as you get them done. You got to keep your priorities straight. And sometimes things move up and down in your list of priorities. I'm going to tell you something that's fixed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Your order of priorities, the kingdom of God, and everything else. That's the only list of priorities that you need to be. I'm not saying that there's not. I mean, yeah, we got to have a time to go to work. We need a time to come home. We got to have a time to eat lunch. I understand all of that. But still, when we put our trust and our hearts are fixed first and foremost on God, we don't worry about when these other things are going to take place, do we? We don't fret about when these other things are going to take place, because we understand that in God's time, by God's grace, there will be a place and a time for all of these other things, because we are fixed on him and in him and by him and through him. My heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. Now, how do we know that our heart is fixed? I will sing and give praise. My heart is fixed, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Praise. You ever found yourself just going about your daily duties around the house, and all of a sudden, you know, every once in a while, Leah will come through the house humming a tune, and she'll say, "Was that me, or you been singing that?" And I said, sometimes I don't honestly know, but I tell her I am now. You see, your heart's fixed. And when your heart's fixed, you find yourself singing and praising God even when you haven't given conscious thought to singing and praising God. I so many times in my life growing up, I knew where my daddy's heart was fixed. Do you know how I have ridden sometimes with that man for an hour, hour and a half, and him be driving, and I knew he wasn't seeing the road, because the whole time he was driving, his gaze was fixed right straight out in front of him, and he was doing this. And I knew what he was doing. He was sitting over there preaching, I couldn't hear what he was saying, but the countenance and the motion, there was no question in my mind about where his heart was. So I had to trust God to take care of the attention part, because I knew Dad wasn't, because his heart was fixed. It's a precious memory to me in my life to think back and to see that picture in my mind of my dad being oblivious, absolutely oblivious to everything around him for seasons at a time because his heart was fixed. And when his heart was fixed, he was praising God. Sign that I used to like. Matter of fact, I think I had one hanging over my desk for a while. It said, "Hallelujah anyway." It was a good reminder, you see, that even when things aren't going well by men's standards, hallelujah anyway. God's still good. God's still gracious. God's still merciful. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to have some heartbreak now and then. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to experience some sorrow now and then. That doesn't mean that life is going to all of a sudden become a bed of roses, because we were never told that it would be. That's not the example that Jesus lived before us was a life of a bed of roses. He lived before us a life of service and a life of trial and a life of faith and a life of confidence and a life of commitment to God. My heart is fixed. Now, I will assure you that whenever we, by God's grace and mercy, come to the place that we realize that my heart has a fixed place and a fixed position and a fixed time, we're going to discover that our heart's fixed too. That there's a wholeness about us. Have you ever in your life, and if you walked long this way and saw him much, I know you have. You remember those times in your life whenever there was such an emptiness, such a hollowness inside you that you didn't understand what it was or why it was there or what you needed to do to fill it up. There are a lot of God's children in the world today that are looking for something to fill up that empty place. Is your life an example to them that they might have some idea of where to begin to look? Are we living our lives with sufficient joy and peace and confidence in God that men, that those around us might look at us and even if they never come and say it to us, that they think in their heart and their mind, oh, whatever it is that they've got, I want some of it. I'll assure you that if your heart is fixed, then there are those around you that are looking for to see the point at which you are anchored. A lot of people, they may not know that they need what you've got, but they want what you've got and they just don't understand it yet. Be kind to them. Be merciful to them. Show them God's love. And be steadfast. You see, if we're going to convince, if our hearts are truly fixed, then our hearts are not wavering, are they? They're not. I at one time, if you remember, if you go back and look at that, whenever Israel was granting blessings to his 12 sons, he told his oldest son, Reuben, "Thou art unstable as water." I don't imagine that felt very good coming from his dad, do you reckon? We got a term for that day. You ever met somebody that was just wishy-washy? That's what Israel was saying to his firstborn son, Reuben. Boy, you're wishy-washy. You're not fixed. You're not steadfast. But God calls us and causes us and enables us to be fixed on him. You know something else that's important about being fixed? We don't think about it much anymore. unless you happen to be a hiker or a camper, chances are, or maybe a hunter, chances are not many of us walk around with a, maybe if you're in the scouts, but other than that, you don't walk around with a compass in your pocket. You don't even think about having a compass. And we got fancy enough in this day and time, we got a GPS, and she tells me, turn here, turn there, your turn's coming up, pay attention, oh, you missed it, turn around and go back. But the fascinating thing about a compass is that no matter where you are, it has a position that is fixed. It's going to always point north. And guess what? If you always know where north is, then you'll also know where south, east, and west are. But that's true. Knowing and understanding where you are is true because the compass has a fixed position. You see, that's another great blessing of our hearts being fixed. Is that when you got that fixed position, you're not lost, are you? Even if you're standing somewhere where you've never been before, you're not lost. You've got a way to know what direction you need to move in. My heart, see, I'm actually going to do it one time. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I will sing and praise thy name. Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you all. If there's one thing that we need to do more of, and to do it with joy, it's to sing and praise his name. And I'm not just talking about in church. I'm talking about showing that joy in your daily life, in your daily existence, reaching for that every morning, anchoring, being anchored and fixed so that when your feet hit the floor in the morning, you understand that God loves you and that because God loves you, you love him, you are fixed, and therefore whatever the day holds, you can face it with joy and praise. There was an old expression people used to use, you know, smile that makes folks wonder what you've been up to. I'm going to tell you something. Show joy in your life and let folks come and inquire what you're up to. Make them, by God's grace and mercy, cause be the catalyst that God uses to cause them to desire to know what it is and who it is that makes your life different, that makes your position and your reaction in life different. Don't hide your joy. Don't cover up your praise. Don't ever tell people you're lucky. Tell people you're blessed. Don't let people tell you you're lucky. You tell them you're blessed. May God ever keep our hearts fixed. And may we give him the praise and the glory for it every day. God bless and keep you, my friend.